published on the Wardrobe Door website, Dr. Billy Graham reflects on three of the biggest regrets over the course of his life. The first one had to do with his devotional life. This is what Dr. Graham said. He said, "I would have spent more time in spiritual nurture, seeking to grow closer to God so that I could become more like Christ. I would have spent more time in prayer, not just for myself, but for others. I would have spent more time studying the Bible and meditating on its truth, not only for sermon preparation, but to apply its message to my life. It is far too easy for someone in my position to read the Bible only with an eye on future sermons, overlooking the message God has for me through its pages." Isn't it interesting that over the course of this last 4 weeks, we've actually, the Lord's message for us has been what Billy Graham was talking about regrets in his life, that being spending more time in prayer, more time in meditation, more time in study. And that had to do with his devotion life. A second regret that he had was relating to his local church community, us. He said, "I would have given more attention to fellowship, like First Baptist Church had on Wednesday night and this morning, with other Christians who could do what?" He says, "Who could teach me, who can encourage me, and even rebuke me when necessary." And the third regret Dr. Graham had was about his family. He said, "Every day I was absent from my family is gone forever." In short, Dr. Graham would have strongly encouraged us today that we need to, number one, value God's word, number two, invest in other believers, and three, nurture your family. As God is transforming our inner spirit through the renewal of our minds, the spiritual discipline of study gives us focus to think on and apply to our life what Philippians 4:8 says, so that we can apply to our lives what is true and what is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, any excellence and anything worthy of praise. I was thinking this morning about the fact that Satan, the world, and our sin nature actually has a plan. They have a strategic plan. And that strategic plan involves the church. My forlornness this morning was the fact that does the church have a plan to counteract the plan that Satan, the world, and our sin natures since the first fall have been planning all this time? And one of the ways that we could do this is by practicing on a daily basis our spiritual discipline. Because I am telling you, Satan, the world, and our sin nature has a plan of how to defeat you and your family. And that puts a lot of fear in us. It reduces our trust. Satan would love for us to reduce our trust in one another. Then we're basically doing the work for him. But the way we combat it is that we don't focus in on the things of this world, but we be transformed to the renewing of our mind and focusing in on truth and honor and just and pure and pleasing and commending and things that are worth praise. Focus our mind on that. That increases our faith, reduces our fear, and challenges us to go out because we already know we are going to suffer. When we are doing God's plan, we are going to suffer. And you know how we reduce our suffering with one another? Is by ministering to one another in our prayers, in our meditation, in our fasting, in our study, in our simplicity, in our frugalness, in our serving, in our submission, in our worship, in our confession, and in our celebration. If you are generally seeking to worship and obey Jesus Christ as Lord and Master, the only way your life can change is by taking up one of the central ways God uses to change us, and that is the spiritual discipline of study. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to those who believe in Him, if you continue in My Word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Not if, not might, not to a percentage maybe, it will make you free. This is a promise from God that we can claim for ourselves today. We can actually claim that right now. We don't have to put it off. We can claim it right now in Jesus' name, that studying God's Word will reveal His truth, and only the knowledge of His truth will be what sets you free. So what is study? Not to get too complicated about this, but study is a specific kind of experience in which, through careful attention to reality, the mind is enabled to move in a certain direction. Unlike meditation, using worshipful readings like the Living Translation of the One-Year Bible, which I have done and is tremendous in helping in my time of meditation, study is an analytical or explaining of what Richard J. Foster would call two books, verbal and nonverbal books. Study is a careful observation and reflection of books, and the greatest of which is God's Word, the Bible, and lectures, which collectively are called verbal books. And also, let's not forget the nonverbal book that I like to call nature. Have you ever had anything in nature speak to you in a spiritual way? Have you ever seen the sunrise or the sunset and God using the nature that He created to speak to you and bring His Scripture alive in your life, and you have an aha epiphany moment spiritually, a revelation or inspiration? I'm telling you, that's a part of study. The principal task of study is a perception into the reality of a given situation or an encounter with somebody or in a book. For myself, what I have found to be true is that sacred study requires humility of the heart, surrender of the will, and a submission to the teaching and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it is a vain exertion to accumulate intellectual imprudence and produce worthless refuse that has little eternal value. 2 Peter chapter 1 declares, you must understand this. I love this. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, you can look it up. You must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came from the impulse of man, but men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. Wow, that is just powerful. You are in the bowels of study when you have that kind of teaching going on. In 2nd letter of Timothy, the Apostle Paul points out that all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters who have a strategic plan to hunt you down and defeat you will go on from bad to worse, deceivers and deceived. In response to this sinful an evil state of society that continues to grow widespread in our society all around us today, let us read what Paul had to say on the importance of always continuing in the study of God's Word, as well as other verbal and nonverbal books God uses to equip us for every good work. If you'll turn in your scriptures today to 2 Timothy chapter 3, let us read verse 14 to 17. 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. Solo Scriptura. All Scripture, only Scripture, is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Lord's unceasing blessings be upon each of you in the reading of His sacred word. In his book, Celebration of Discipline, The Path to Spiritual Growth, Richard Foster points out this, that the mind will always take an order conforming to the order upon which it concentrates. When this is done with concentration, perception, and, as Lori pointed out, continuous repetition, ingrained habits of thoughts are formed. Foster goes on to offer four-step practical application in how God can instruct us for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, and how you and I can be equipping ourselves for every good work. And that is the name of this sermon. Equipping yourself for every good work by treasuring God's Word in your heart. So Richard Foster, first of all, points out this continuous issue, the need for, in the spiritual discipline of study, to have repetition. This ingrained habits or thought can be formed by repetition alone, thus changing behavior. The central rationale behind psycho-cybernetics is that the inner mind is being trained and will eventually, mental or muscle memory, respond by modifying behavior to conform to the affirmation. For example, I know God loves me unconditionally. So in addition to repetition, he talks about that in the spiritual discipline of study, we should not only be doing repetition, we need to be doing concentration. Concentration centers the mind and helps us to pay attention to what we're studying. The human mind constantly is receiving thousands and thousands of stimuli, each one of which is stored in a memory bank which it focuses only on a few. This natural ability of the brain is enhanced when, with singleness of purpose, it will center its attention upon a desired object of study. So, with that, we need to be careful to avoid distractions. I got to be honest with you, I have a really hard time concentrating if the radio's on, or the TV's on, or I'm working through something on my phone, and find out that Sherry has said my name four times while I'm doing something on the phone. So, in our spiritual discipline of study, we need to be practicing repetition. We need to have a singleness of purpose in our concentration. And then on this issue of comprehension. As you repeatedly focus your mind on a particular direction, so that's repetition, and you center your attention on a certain subject, that's concentration, it's critical that you understand what it is that you're studying. In other words, comprehensive. It is the comprehension or knowledge of the truth given to you by God's grace. So when you are in your prayer room and you are meditating and you are studying and you are praying and you're reading through Scripture and you're repeating it and you're concentrating on it and you ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, give me inspiration, give me revelation, that you are saying, Lord, give me understanding, give me comprehension of what you are saying. Do you know that in that moment, God's grace is pouring down on you, and through the work of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual realm is working in your heart, and it promises that it will set you free. Comprehension leads to an insight and discernment which provides the basis for a true perception of reality. It's at this level in our study wherein we are actually involved in personal growth and freedom. And then finally, reflection. I will tell you, I'm going to confess to you that reflection was the hardest thing for me to do in seminary. I am not very good at that. But God broke me down. And I had to realize and submit that in order for what the Holy Spirit has given me to comprehend and understand, I need to reflect upon it in my own life and through the experiential learning model where I've asked what happened in this process, so what does it mean to me personally, and the now what do I do with this information? Although comprehension defines what it is you're studying, reflection defines the significance of what it is that you're studying. What is the significance to me? Reflection brings me and allows me to see, to hear, and understand. And here it comes. Here it comes. Reflection brings you and me to the point where we get to see, we get to hear, we get to understand things in and around us from God's perspective. There's victory in Jesus. One way to study in a practical way are verbal books. Learning to study is a challenging art involving the maze of extremely complex details. Yet may I suggest there's three intrinsic and three extrinsic rules that govern sound study skills. The intrinsic rules, number one, understanding what the author is actually saying in the book. Number two, interpreting what the author's meaning is, context, which I preached on all the time. And number three, evaluating whether or not the author was right or wrong. You see, this is not a new principle. If you look in the book of Acts, chapter 17, it says, we see this demonstrating by the believers in Thessalonica after Paul and Silas, they preached. And I would encourage all of you to go and search the Scriptures. Anything that comes out of my mouth that I'm heralding, go to the Scriptures and check it to see if I'm correct. Because it says in Acts, chapter 17, verse 11, they received the word with eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And then the extrinsic rules, experience that is understood and reflected upon will inform and enlighten your studies. Experience that you have. Another extrinsic rule is other books. Don't study in isolation. Use other materials, interpretive literature, dictionaries, Bible commentaries. And then third, living discussion. I really encourage debate and Socratic dialogue that creates insight that would never come without an active exchange of ideas in the process. One of the things that I'm looking forward to in January is having a spiritual renewal type of time where once a month we could take a topic and dialogue about it together on a spiritual concept such as how to know that Jesus loves me and has forgiven me of my sins. And to study that in Scripture and dialogue about it. And to take it from out there and allow it to be put right here. Thank you. These three intrinsic and extrinsic rules which govern sound study skills are excellent reasons why it's very, very important. And I want to raise this very, very important issue. And that's why Betty, with her and running the Sunday school classes, these extrinsic and intrinsic rules, they apply in our sound study because we see the importance of that in our Sunday school class. Our teachers at all levels do a wonderful job of implementing these study skills in their teaching lesson every week. And I can't thank the Lord enough for our teachers. The most important book for us to study is the Bible. With all humility, we come to the Scriptures to allow God to change and transform our inner selves, not to accumulate information. You know, I had a friend of mine when I was in college. He was on staff with a Christian organization, and he had a photographic memory. And he came to me weeping, and I said, "What is wrong?" And he says, I have memorized the entire New Testament, and I'm halfway through memorizing the entire Old Testament, and I am empty inside. We come to God and read the Scripture because the only way that this is alive is through the grace of God and the inspiration and revelation and submission to the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And we need to be praying for that, not only for ourselves, but for one another in the body of Christ. How can a person keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. In order for us to fully equip ourselves with the whole armor of God every day, we must study the inspired word of the Scriptures and allow the Holy Spirit to use God's word to teach us, to reprove us, yes, and even to correct us in the training of righteousness so that I, who belong to God, may be perfected and equipped in every good work. This is worth repeating. Let us never, ever, ever minimize the fact that God's Word, the Bible, it is true and it is dependable and it is profitable and it is what is used by God to equip us for service. Period. The study of Scriptures is a high priority when we place what it means, interpret it, in contrast with the devotion that we talked about, where is what does the Scripture mean to me? So when we are doing our spiritual discipline of study, it's much deeper than when we are practicing the spiritual discipline of meditation, where we are allowing and just sitting and waiting on God. When we study the Bible, we seek to hear the intent of the author, which is an exegesis approach, as opposed to immediately rushing to what we want it to say, or an esegesis. To be clear, a daily devotional reading is not practicing the spiritual disciplines of study. King James, I love this, in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that is needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. So I would encourage you, here's a couple of things to do if you're not already doing it. Take a private 2 to 3 day retreat. Honey, can we go on a private retreat? I would love that. Away from home, where you can take Scripture in a large chunk and study it together. Get away from all those things. Another one is start a book club. A book of the Bible a month, where you can be able to read, let's say, the epistle to the Ephesians or 1 John, and you just read through that every day for a month. Have a journal. Write down your findings and compare them with other things like Bible commentaries or dictionaries. You should also consider reading other type of Christian literature classics. I enjoy the Confessions of St. Augustine. There's works of Martin Luther and John Calvin and George Fox and John Wesley. I love The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. How about Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis? Or The Revelations of Divine Love by Juliana of Norwich? Remember this, the key to the spiritual discipline of study is not how many books you read, but rather experiencing what you do read. And then we have the nonverbal areas that we talked about where we can learn from that. We can learn from human interaction with one another, where we study not only our situational awareness, but our self-awareness. So we are careful in our situational awareness that if we are not self-aware, we will find ourselves repeating like the Pharisees did and say, "Dear God, I thank you that I am not like those other people." We need to be self-aware and situationally aware in ministering to one another in the body of Christ, or Socrates said, "Know thyself." We also can learn this in nature as well as in institutions and cultures. Asking ourselves when we're in a situation, when we're looking at a situation in our culture, and we hear something and we say the question, "What would Jesus do?" Practicing spiritual discipline of study can be hard work, but if you remain steadfast, an increased proficiency will produce greater joy in your life. In Hebrews chapter 5 points out, and here it is. Are you ready? "Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." We need to be studying the Word of God and studying the big picture in order for us to identify and say, "That is evil, I'm calling it out." I encourage you, in your bulletin you have an insert. One such way to study scriptures is by inductive study. And I've given you a 2-page insert there to help you through an observation, interpretation, and application method that by navigator Dwight Hill wrote that breaks down in 7 steps how you can study God's Word. In order to equip yourself for every good work, it requires you to gain knowledge, master all the pieces, and put on correctly the full armor of God. Did you notice that the 6th piece of the armor of God that Paul discusses in Ephesians 6 is the sword of the Spirit, which represents the Word of God? As you and I are soldiers in Christ's army, your sword serves as the offensive. This is the offensive weapon against all enemies. His Word is the ultimate truth, and we can find confidence in knowing that God's Word is our greatest weapon. But in order for us to use it effectively, as Lori pointed out to our children so beautifully, as George pointed out in our prayer collectively, we must treasure God's Word in our heart. Let us aim high in our goal to know God and to be transformed by His Word. Did you know that there is nothing greater? Or as Paul declared, the underlying need to continue to study God's Word in Philippians 3:8. May this be your prayer as it is my prayer. "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." Billy Graham would tell you today, spend more time praying, studying the Bible, meditating on its truths. And I'm sure Dr. Graham would encourage each of us to practice all 4 inward spiritual disciplines in our daily life: meditation, prayer, fasting, and study.
Don't let ignoring the practice of the inward spiritual disciplines be your regrets. But rather let God use them to be ongoing blessings that you are grateful for and devoted to each and every day and throughout the rest of your life. I guarantee to all of us that Christ Jesus, our Lord,